as you correctly say, you played your first game against Cheltenham in October 1990, and then I noticed in your fourth game, you got your first try. Do you remember that?
If you tell me, who was it against?
Fylde on the 1st of April 91.
That was out here, wasn't it? That was a cup game?
No, it was one of the Easter games. We're still playing those Easter games at that time.
I can't remember it, if I'm honest. I'd love to say I saw five dummies and sprint half the length of the pitch, but I can't remember. No.
And then you had your league debut against Harlequins. That was much later, 24th of April 1993. Gloucester won 25-5. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I do remember that game, yeah. I mean, obviously the details get a bit vague over time, but... Again, you know, as you say, the gap there was quite a big thing then in those days. You know, the first team was week in, week out. The bench system was completely different. Of course, you only had two replacements. Mm-hmm. They could only come on if someone was injured. So it was almost a closed shop in a lot of ways.
Who were the players you were up against to get a place?
So if you look at the second row where I was, so Nigel Scrivens was the front line, the two jumper. And Dave Sims, I think, was playing in the middle there. But I always saw Scrivs as the person. So I was playing at the front in the United. He was playing at the front in the first. But, as I say, it was difficult to break through. I mean, even though, you know, the United side we had was Paul Williams coaching, a very successful side at the time. You know, we were going down to Bath against 10 internationals and beating them. And it was a bit of frustration at the time. I think a lot of players felt they were worthy of a chance. They didn't get the opportunity, and it was only over time that eventually most of that United side, the core, became what was the first team mid-90s and the transition into professional era.
John Brain, he was around at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. I mean, obviously John was a very good friend of mine. I think he played in the final, didn't he, in 1990, and he was around for a bit, but he came down coaching the forwards. Very good forwards coach when he first came. Then he went away for a bit and then he came back again. Very shrewd, tactical, good forwards coach. A lot of time for John, obviously, sadly passed away last year. And that was a big loss for everyone. Yeah.
And another second row around about that time, Richard West.
Yeah, well, Westy, I mean, so there was a period, so a good run of, I still see Westy around now, and, you know, he's 6'10", 6'11".
Does he look as big as ever?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I think he's 25 stone the last time I saw him. But he goes through phases, I think. But he's still the light dims when he walks in the room. Put it that way, he's a big frame. But I played a lot of games in the second row alongside Westy. Of course, there was a period when Barry Corliss was here, when Dave Sims went to number 8, and so played a lot of games in the second row that season. I think Deeks was captain that year, I think.
Yeah. And there was a quite famous game for all the wrong reasons, really, November 1994, and you were in the team that played against Canterbury when we lost 70 points to 7. Yeah,
that's a great quiz question for anyone in Gloucester, isn't it?
I do remember
that game. Yeah. Scarred for life, but I think it was the quiz question is, who was Gloucester's try score on their heaviest ever defeat at Kingsham, and it was me. And yeah, so it's not so much shout about clearly, because we got hammered 70-7, I think it was.
How about who was the person who took part? I think the only person who took part in both their heaviest home defeat and their heaviest away defeat.
That was probably that would have been Quinns in the league, wasn't it? Yeah. Are you trying to tell me something?
Couldn't resist it.
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah, that was. We'll come on to that, no doubt.
We'll come on to that.
I mean, the Canterbury one. I mean, that was a real education, because we were all young lads. And if you look at their side, they were an evolving side at the time. And I think their 9 and 10 were Justin Marshall and Andrew Mertens. He obviously went on to be regular All Blacks. Todd Blackadder was in the pack, and they had, you know, class all over the field. And it was a real lesson. You know, I can remember it now. They were just the pace and power of the game. And you know, you kind of think you're playing at a good level. And when you come against that, it was, you took a lot from it, albeit it was a hammering. And obviously, we weren't anywhere near full strength. I think we were, there was a few fringe players at the time. Mm-hmm. But it was a tough day at the office.
Going back to the match earlier in the year, the one we were talking about before, the match against Northampton with the all those Long Levens players in the pack and all the Northampton stars. What was the feeling in the dressing room after that one? That must have been...
Was it 14-13, was it, from memory?
It was 11-6.
11-6, okay, yeah, so it was tight, wasn't it?
It was tight. But you must have been on a high after that.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. I mean, it's the same now if you have any sporting, you know, even the guys Saturday here against Perpignan, they all come from different areas, but they train together, they're good friends. Mm. But it was a bit extra by the fact that you were all very close from a young age, and you kind of... I mean, that's why Gloucester... I mean, people talk about Gloucester's home record and away record, you know, back in the day when, realistically, on paper, we shouldn't have beaten half the size we did. And it was purely down to the reason that the players, man for man, if you look at the ability-wise, were probably a weaker side. But they can overcome that, and rugby, that's what rugby is like, is if your mentality is right, you get that extra bit, you can beat anyone. And that was the case then. And so to answer your question... It literally was that. So it was a huge effort. All those wins against these international sides were huge efforts, and there was always a buzz after. And of course, then you could always have a good drink to celebrate.
Yeah. But just for the record, I mean, that side included Martin Bayfield, Matt Dawson, Nick Beale, Gary Pearce, Ian Hunter.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic Northampton side.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we had many good battles against them. We used to enjoy playing Northampton, actually. It was just always a good game of rugby. You know, quite physical.
And, and I think the fans appreciate each other too, because the clubs are very similar, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I mean, and Leicester also. I think those sides, and you know, the fans always got. They look after you. It's a great atmosphere. It feels like a proper rugby club.
Mm.
You know, Keith Barwell, I think it was at Northampton at the time. You know, he had a lot of time, a lot of investment there. You know, we really bought all the pubs and restaurants around the ground at one point, so everything came into the club, and so it was a great. I think it was the intensity. And Kingsland's very intense when it's busy and with the crowd. And as a player and also a fan, I think you get the same. We used to enjoy going to Northampton. We used to enjoy going to Wildford Road because you get the same type of atmosphere here, albeit it's weighted against you. Mm-hmm. You know, great stadiums to play in.
Yeah.